Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Mike here with the Buffalo Happy Hour. We are located at Addie's on Transit Road in Williamsville, which is fantastic. And naturally, we have a fantastic guest bringing it back for round two and most likely going to be three and four in the future. However, we just wanted to quickly sit down with you and go through a new lineup just before our agave class, which is also hosted here at Addie's. So quickly introduce yourself just for those that don't remember you, and then we'll dive right in.
Yeah, for the two-parter that you're probably dealing with now, my name is Mario Delgado. I am a self-diagnosed lunatic in the world of spirits, and so I have certifications at the wazoo. I've, you know, experience in making cocktails. I worked at a distillery in New Jersey called All Points West, and I totally fell in love with the world of spirits. I used all my good jokes on the last episode, so please rewatch that. There's a lot of great information to get from there. But we're going to go into a few different categories today. I think I still have a lot of great information for you, so please stick around for today's episode as well.
Derek is sick today, so it is just myself. But why don't we start with, you want to go right to left, the viewers left to right?
Yeah, we'll go to the viewers left to right. Okay. I think categorically it makes a little bit of sense, but, you know, for everybody at home, please enjoy spirits or anything that you're having in any capacity that you can do it. You know, if there's people always joke about you have to have white wine with a certain type of dish or seafood, or red wine with steaks and other types of dishes. But if you don't like white or red wine, you can't just force yourself into it. And spirits is very much the same way, except it's a lot harsher and much more abrasive. So definitely, you know, take yourself in your own pace. Enjoy spirits the way you want to. I'll give you a few notes that I use sometimes, but there is absolutely no wrong way to get a buzz, as long as you're not driving, right? So,
exactly.
So let's get started. Vermentino, this is actually going to come from the first vermouth house in the U.S. It's a group, a company called the Wine Collective. It's actually two brothers, and they are using three different vineyards. They're in Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and they're basically utilizing low intervention and natural wines to create an incredible category. So Felipe and Enrique, they started, you know, getting into this because they both got scholarships playing polo, which is something you never hear about nowadays. And so with that scholarship money, Felipe went into viticulture and learned about the winemaking process and just really enjoyed that. And Enrique went into philosophy. And I think you can really see both of their roles in these products at the end of the day. And luckily, their sister was also into graphic design. So kind of that's their background, the winemaking. They really care. Low intervention, natural wines. And the wines, if you get a chance to try them, are fantastic. They do have a tasting room in Baltimore that's part of a larger building set, so you can check them out. There's a distillery there in that area. There's a brewery. There's an ice cream shop. There's a rock wall. So there's a lot of things to do. And Baltimore is just a fun city. And speaking of Baltimore, with the Vermentino line, you're going to see a flamingo on the label. And that's an homage to John Waters. He's originally from Baltimore. And so they almost called it Pink Flamingo Vermouth. But luckily, they were able to do Vermoon Vermentino. And so their kind of strategy is falling into the love of Spaniard, like Spain, Spanish spritzer culture. So their vermouths are big bottles with wine corks. You know, they're meant to be drank quite enjoyably. So the Vermentino kind of cuts out that step. So with Vermentino, you're actually going to have carbonated water added to the vermouth that they make in-house. So we're talking about low intervention, natural wine with non-GMO and organic botanicals. So we're just adding carbonated water. That vermouth is going to be at 16.5%, but these cans are at 8%. So a little bit more than your other ready-to-drink cans out there. But you are putting something healthier in your body. You know, at the end of the day, I can't stop you from texting your ex and drinking a bunch of these, but I can say you are going to enjoy them. They make a few different categories. So let me pour Mike some. We'll try a little bit. And I'll give you a little bit more of the spiel.
That's fascinating. So it's essentially carbonated water and a vermouth. And yes. That's it.
That's it. It has everything you need as an aperitivo.
I never thought to have this as an option or some type of drink. If you see random arms and limbs or people laughing in the back, we do have our famous peanut gallery here watching, which is fantastic. So thank you for the help. We do appreciate it. But so it's straight up just vermouth and soda water.
Vermouth and carbonated water. So if you're getting away, if you like a lower ABV thing, like an Aperol spritz or a Campari spritz, something like that, you can use this as an alternative. It is wine-based. They're not putting... they're not really going to add anything else here that's going to interfere. There's no additives or anything like that. So it's very clean. It's very elegant. If you like your vermouths, you know, just think of your vermouth as like a lighter bodied kind of Amaro. The same things that make a vermouth bitter are going to go into making your Amaros bitter as well. It's just a wine base versus using like a distillate. And so this one in particular, they change the botanicals for each of their vermouths. This is actually a Chardonnay wine as a base, and then they focus on vanilla and wormwood. But this is a little bit of an homage to Chenar and to Fernet because there's artichoke leaf in here. So artichoke leaf, you're also going to have burnt cane sugar. So with the red vermouth, you're typically a sweeter style, but they want to use the sugar as a botanical and not just a sweetening agent. So I don't know about you, Mike. For me, it's like a boozy Dr. Pepper, a cola profile, really approachable.
It's a very interesting color, too. It's kind of, it's just a copperish, you know? It's not like super dark. It's not super light either, but it's rather inviting.
Yeah, there's no artificial coloring in here. So everything, all the color there is from the botanicals that they use. You see with a lot of other vermouth houses, they'll use caramel E150. Or E140. That's the same caramel coloring that they use for like Scotch whiskey and stuff like that. And so even though it's caramel, it'll give it a reddish tone. And you'll see that with some other vermouth houses. And other vermouths will actually use like colored glass. So the wine is fairly like clean and enjoyable. But, you know, in reality, with the vermouth, the regular vermouth line, it's a clear bottle. They're not hiding anything from you. There's nothing floating in the bottom. And that color's not going to fade like caramel culling would in the sunlight.
It's very smooth.
Yeah. And it's 8%, so you can kind of just drink these all day.
Yeah, this is really dangerous. And at Addy's, this is how much for the four-pack?
So the four-pack at Addy's is going to be $19. And then, of course, if you go on the Addy's app, if you mention the Buffalo Happy Hour, you're going to get your 10% off. This is going to be a nice little treat. It's something you could bring around to your family members. It's something you could bring around to your friends. There is a little bit of White Claw shame I know that goes around. So I think you're going to be pretty safe having a Vermentino. Really cool packaging, really cool juice. And also it's like it's vermouth. There's a sense of elegance to it. It's not just neutral spirit dumped with a lot of artificial flavoring and stuff like that. So it's probably as healthy as you can get. You're going to see a lot of that in this lineup. It's as healthy as you can get for a very sinful act.
I love this because the first lineup was, I don't know if it was as intense as this, but it had its levels of intricacies. So I'm excited to go through this with you because there's so many different moving pieces, but each product has a really nice story. So why did you choose this one first for this lineup?
It's going to be the lowest ABV going into the lineup. So that's the most important. So we're going to ramp up as we go along. But something also to consider, when you're talking about an Amaro, an aperitivo, those categories of digestives are going to be on the bitter side. And bitter elements actually awaken your appetite. And so they help you digest and process things better. So if you're going out to like have a steak dinner or a lot of pastas, you should be starting with a vermouth or a bitter Amaro or something like that. That's why that's how the monks did it. The monks were grabbing botanicals from the hillside. They're one of the very few people who can produce alcohol. And so they started adding it. So the ones who made wine were just adding it to their vermouth. And as time went on and distillation came along, they started adding it to their Amaros and sweetening them up. But when you start with something bitter, better for your appetite, better for digestion, better for approaching, it kind of primes your stomach. And then we have the digestif, the sweeter category. So we're talking about our Baileys or like our Chinar or sweeter after dinner drinks. And those help you with digestion. So if you had a huge meal, you know, if you have your protein, your carbohydrates, you're going to digest your carbohydrates first. So having something sweet after a protein or a fat rich meal starts the digestive process. So that matters. So don't start your dinner with a Bailey's and don't finish it with a Campari or a Vermentino. You definitely want to start bitter and then finish with sweet. It's you're going to feel so much better at the end of the meal.
So Manhattan's before dinner is the right move.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. All day.
I like that.
You better might as well go for a double, you know?
Of course. Of course. So moving to the next, I'm personally biased. I'm obsessed with the animal on the label.
Okay.
So can we just start there and then go?
Yeah, so what Mike's talking about here is the Alma del Jaguar. So Alma del Jaguar, let's start at the Jaguars. This brand is done by a gentleman by Macaulay Williams. His uncle has basically a preserver, an organization that protects jaguars on the border between the U.S. and Mexico. So the Americas in general, there's a very, very long history of jaguars or big cats. And so that has shrunken, you know, like we had mountain lions up here in the Northeast or Northern territories of the U.S. And that's just shrunken. And it's also from like South America and Central America up, all that territory has shrunk down. And really, if we don't make the effort to conserve them, we're never gonna be able to accomplish that without making an effort. A really good way to do that is to lean into people's vices. So we know people drink more tequila than they think about jaguars. So offering a fantastic tequila is really gonna help with that. And that really lucked them out at the end as well, because they're aligned with an incredible tequila house called NAM 1414 or 1414. It's the two Sergio Cruz and Sergio Vacanato, I want to say. I'm probably mispronouncing that, and I apologize sincerely because it's an incredible process that goes into tequila making that I'll get to in a bit. But Macaulay and his family's background with the Jaguars was a fantastic opportunity with NAM 1414 to work together and really focus on like Mexican culture and heritage and, you know, providing jobs. So a percentage of all the bottle sales does go to the Northern Jaguar, group that Macaulay's uncle has. Mm-hmm. And it's basically it's like Sedona. It's like the Mexico U.S. border. We're less than 200,000 jaguars in the Americas at the moment. And so they're really working on bringing that population back. So at least when you buy this tequila, the fat cats you're supporting are actually just jaguars. So instead of the big houses.
Nothing wrong with that. So can you, price points for each at Addy's?
So with the Blanco, you're going to be looking at a $49, and the Reposado, you're going to be looking at $59.
Got it. And then for those that have absolutely no idea about these spirits specifically, what's the difference between the two?
So when we're looking at Alma de Jaguar, the difference is going to be the aging. So the Blanco is going to see no aging at all, but the Reposado is going to be finished 2 months in American oak, so ex-bourbon, and 2 months ex-French oak in Chardonnay casks. But the similarities are going to be, first off, the packaging. So that is agave fiber that has been recycled to make the label, agave paste to glue it on, and the cork and the glass are both recycled, as well as the cardboard packaging that these are shipped in. So there's a lot of different aspects of the environment that they're supporting. Then for the base of it all, it's going to be sustainable agave, which means no pesticides, all harvested by hand, nothing adulterating it in any part of the process. Then for fermentation, they're going to do two types of fermentation. One is going to be champagne yeast that comes from France. So it introduces a different character and flavor and essence to it. And that's about 20% of it. And then the 80% is going to be a wild a wild yeast. So we're talking about the walls on the sides of the distillery coming in, influencing the fermentation. And then we have the Mozart method. So what they're doing is taking the leaves from the agaves, laying them over the ferment, and then playing classical music. And they've seen, and the studies have shown, that that classical music playing is keeping the yeast active and moving. And using those agave fibers in there is going to introduce some other wild yeast opportunities and flavor notes to be captured that you're not going to see anywhere else.
Is it because of waves? Like radio waves impact yeast differently than anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you see the vibration can affect distilling in a lot of different processes, whether it's the aging process or fermentation. I mean, yeast is a living thing. We can only hope they're like listening and boogieing down and enjoying their Mozart. But I think absolutely waves and vibrations are going to keep the yeast in an environment that they always feel like they have to be active. And then by the yeast being active, they not only pursue the sugar, so you're not left with a bunch of residual sugar. They also continue to consume things. So you have like esters and aldehydes and all these different flavor notes that are really nuanced, but they have to be present in the fermentation for you to kind of get those, get that yield post-distillation.
I love that. Okay. I didn't know about the Mozart method.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that really common across all different?
No, I think it's Sergio's touch in making the tequila. And that's what makes it so special. The non-1414 house is really well known. It's really hot right now. Tons of awards are coming out, especially for Alma the Jaguar as well. So even if you see other brands from non-1414 coming out that aren't Alma del Jaguar, they're going to be fantastic.
How many years have they been in production?
They haven't been in production long, but I'm okay with that. My biggest fear is when you have a tequila line and they opened up yesterday and all of a sudden they have a añejo or an extra añejo and that's been around for, 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, but it's like you just opened yesterday. Like, how is this possible? At least we know with like the Alma de Jaguar, the turnaround time can be fairly quick. With the Blanco and the Repo, again, it's 2 months and 2 months. So it's only 4 months aging. So it's very appropriate for the line. They haven't even released an Añejo yet because the brand hasn't been around. So this isn't somebody who's like, hey, my tequila brand didn't do well. Will you buy my juice? We're not getting by. It's actually like, hey, this is the intention behind the brand. And once it's there, once it's in place, it'll be fantastic. We even have a still strength coming out for the Blanco. So just keep an eye out there in a couple months. You very rarely see something like that, but I think the world of bourbon drinkers and Scotch whiskey drinkers, they can handle the higher ABV. So I think tequila drinkers should have their own kind of taste and opportunity as well.
Well, I have a follow-up question too, just to kind of compare those two worlds, but can we get a dumper just to go in between glasses? But before we pour, because you mentioned bourbon and bourbon drinkers, and one thing that resonated with me about their lineup and how they're introducing different products is they're really strategic with making it make sense, where they're releasing something that, it's 4 months. Like, we got that. Yeah. With a lot of bourbon distilleries, and this is not a slight at any bourbon distillery ever, but they sometimes do, thank you, they sometimes do like a like an MGP to start, and then they release their own after the fact just because they need time to age, which totally makes sense. It's, very viable. But at the same time, it's almost like they don't have to do that with this specific spirit.
Yeah.
So you have like a more authentic release and a more, organic way of going about owning your line.
Yeah. And I feel like it's very, I don't want to say misleading, but I feel that when we talk about the dark side of the bourbon world, and there's, of course, plenty of great, incredible bourbons and ryes and everything else out there. But when people are sourcing and then they just open up their own distillery and then they decide that, okay, we're going to make everything ourselves, it's never going to taste the same.
Right.
I don't know if you ever heard that story about Belvenie when they opened up a second distillery.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So they opened it like a mile down the road, same water source, same grains, the stills they had. And then what happens? The juice just doesn't taste the same. They end up selling it off. And so that same thing is going to happen with bourbon. There's really no perfect way of duplicating it, where this is an intentional. It's the way it's going to be. And also some of those brands, when they buy from one house and then they do their own or they pump a lot of money into it, they're looking to flip that brand. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to like make some money. I don't think the Jaguars are going anywhere. So I think this brand has a longevity to it too. You know, it's not like, hey, I made bourbon because I got bored one day and I'm I'm super duper rich, you know? It's like, this is here to serve a purpose and a goal. And like you said, totally intentional, whether it's in the way they're like harvesting agave, their ferment, the even the stills they use are actually produced from copper in Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're really like all in. And the Jaguars are such a strong representative of Mexico and Aztec culture as well. So all of it kind of plays together. So exactly, you nailed it on right on the head. The intention behind the brand is incredible, and I commend them for that.
I haven't really seen, well, to be fair, I haven't seen a tequila selection this big pretty much anywhere else in Buffalo other than Addie's. So it makes sense that it is here. But is this something that's readily available, or does it take time to get?
No, we're pretty stocked up on this. They're slowly rolling out distribution in the U.S. They want to make sure no one's kind of hurting. What helps too, it's an additive free tequila. So they're not spending time blending it to get more smoke flavor or color or putting glycerin or vanilla into it. You know, they're just producing, they're bottling. It doesn't even get filtered before it gets bottled. So you're just getting juice and bottle right away.
I kind of like how it has a smoky note to it. It's super fresh.
Yeah, they actually have a 850-foot deep well on the property. So there's a ton of minerality that's going to be present in here too.
How did you find that out?
Yeah, no, they don't hide that information. They put it right on the label. They have their own well source there.
Got it.
Yeah.
You just happen to know the exact footage?
Yes, yes, yes. I do okay. My homework before I come to the Buffalo happy hour.
Appreciate
I try not to embarrass myself, you know?
No problem. So an 850-foot well on site, and that's what they're using to finish? Or
It's part of their fermentation process.
Okay.
And also part of their proofing down as well.
So it goes down into the well?
The water source, yeah. So they go into the well for that water source.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet. They're not fooling around, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. I like this a lot. It's definitely not overpowering, and it's really inviting. The problem that I'm running into, because I'm slowly getting into tequilas, because it's been like 7 years of bourbon and scotch, which scotch is like a newfound baby where I'm just like obsessed because there's so many different things to dive into.
Right.
With this, it's not scary. But what it is it's overwhelming just because I understand the NOM aspect. And if you search and then it becomes a research rabbit hole and then you like fall in love with it and then you're always trying to buy it. And then each bottle's $60 and you're like, all right, what? I'm trying to figure that out. Like, how do you navigate it? But then there are so many different options. And once you get into, in my opinion so far, because I'm a novice, but so far, $50 and up, I don't even think you want to do anything with it other than drink it.
Right.
Like, I feel bad putting any ice in it, but I'm also like a purist where it's like, they made the product. I just want to drink it neat, but I'm a savage. I do that with like coffee liqueurs.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out how to navigate those waters. But I feel like even with this, why would you make a cocktail with it?
Right. I think the best spirit you can have is the one you can afford. So that's the most important part.
Sure.
And then what you're adding to it has to serve a purpose. This is very cooling. This is very silky and kind of around tequila. You can enjoy it on its own. I'm a huge advocate of that more affordable spirits make better cocktails because they're sharper and they'll cut through the sugar and they'll cut through the citrus when you're making, let's say, a margarita with tequila.
Sure.
But of course, the next day you don't want to feel like crap. So if you can afford to, every cocktail you're going to make with Alma de Jaguar is going to come out fantastic. But if that's not your price point for, you know, you want to enjoy it more as a sipping product, there's plenty of other affordable options. And that's not what this is trying to be. This is trying to be definitely a premium product. A lot of love goes into it. So there's plenty of other brands you can use as an option.
So neat is their primary focus here?
You could do neat. Yeah, neat. Or maybe like if you want to do a half cocktail, like do club soda or seltzer with a squeeze of lime.
Okay.
And then you can kind of ease yourself into it.
No.
But to sip it and just be like, oh, yeah, that was great. That's just enjoy it. It's your money. Enjoy it any way you can. You have the opportunity to try it here, which is it's fantastic. Addie's always has classes educating people. Like tonight's agave class, there's an opportunity to try some of these things. And you don't know unless you try.
I just feel like I could, if it's, I don't know, 85 in Buffalo for like the three times a year, and then you're outside grilling, like I would want this. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just, it's clean, it's crisp, and it's delicious.
Maybe a little bit of golfing, or this will hold up to a cigar. It's got good bones to it.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. But if you're like, hey, let me take a couple shots of this before I Bill's Mafia, like, crash through a table, there's so many other better options out there.
I agree. So this next option, also a Jaguar.
Yes. So.
You don't got to race, too, man. You're good.
This is my normal drinking pace. I was just trying to. Yeah.
That's fair.
So yeah, so again, this is the repo. It's going to be H for the 4 months. So we have two in ex-American, two in ex-French.
This is the more expensive?
This could be a little bit more premium. So this is going to be the $59 one for the Reposado.
Okay.
Like I said, the Añejo's not out yet. The Still Strength isn't out yet. So, you know, try the brand, learn about it, fall in love. Like I said, those are copper pot stills. And if you were paying attention last time, pot stills were going to be just low and slow, really time consuming process. This is grandma's sauce pot on the stove. It's not the quickest way to do it, but you get so many more rich flavors out of it.
Sure.
And you can make more proper, what we call cuts. We have the heads, the heart, and the tails. The heart is what we're drinking. The heads is going to be more methanol, which is really harsh. That's more like rubbing alcohol. And the tails are going to be the oils. The things are too heavy to kind of turn into vapor. So they're making proper cuts here. They're using, like, again, the Mexican copper for the copper stills, that well water. And again, the 80% wild yeast with a 20% champagne. And people just say, you know, oh, if I get the NOM from one house and maybe it's a little bit more affordable, then it's going to be the same no matter where I get it. But you should always think of multiple brands coming out of a NOM or out of a bourbon house or anybody else that makes a larger volume as a signature. So if you go to a steakhouse, they're going to do steaks a certain way and you'll like the way that they're making it. You might not like the way they make pasta. So not every place that makes whiskey is going to make a great gin. So I think looking at something like this, which is going to be multi-generational for NOM 1414, they have their own signature. And if that's your style, then that's the style you enjoy. And they're just fantastic at making tequilas.
How many NOMs do you have memorized?
Oh, no, not many. Not many. There's thousands, but yeah, not many memorized.
Got it. But 1414 stands out?
1414, yeah. A company that was called Arte NOM, where they would take like top tier NOMs throughout Mexico and they would pull those products as a kind of premium tequila to show off. 1414 was one of their strongest brands in that lineup. Hmm. But the other ones in Arte NOM are fantastic. Siempre Tequila is one that's been getting a lot of accolades as well. You also have Lost Lore Tequila. They're slowly growing in the market. They're getting a good reputation as well. Don Anibal. So there's a lot of great things coming out.
Is it kind of like Italy with wine, where you'll have different regions of Italy and you're like, okay, like strong wines are coming from like central Italy that most people don't really know about. And then northern Italy, you have a totally different grape varietal. So you're going to get these ranges. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like that with tequila throughout Mexico?
With the different NOMs you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like again, everyone's going to have their own signature. Everyone's going to have their own sources as well. So with NOM 1414, all the agaves come from Los Altos. So it's right. Going to be a highland agave. It's a very specific style versus lowland. You're going to get a lot of heat, a lot of sugar coming in through a highland agave. Lowland is going to be cooler. You might have more like kind of fruit notes where you get more peppery or vegetable notes from the highlands because there's just a lot of heat going on in there as well. So I think doing your homework and figuring out agave sources, what do I like highland? Do I look lowland? Does this company blend two together? This is 100% Los Altos. So this is all 100% highland agave for the tequila.
Interesting. So it's almost like scotch where you got to figure out what region you like. Whether like,
right, if it's going to be...
if it's super peaty or if it's a highland.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's a great way to put it. Because a lot of those, you know, scotch places use very similar grains or use similar houses where it kind of falls into technique and water source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Yeah, it's meant to be enjoyed. It's worth that premium price point, I promise.
No, I agree. Yeah. Because, again, it's not... you can taste purity mm-hmm. and you can taste realness. You know, yeah. And like when you have so many different additives, it's just kind of like, why does that taste the way that it tastes mm-hmm. that way? And then you realize like, oh, it's a $12 bottle from Kentucky. And it's like what the afterthought of what they were actually distilling that day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like with this, you can really taste the authenticness and the pureness of it. And I mean, it's very specific and almost borderline regulated, for like a lack of better terms, mm-hmm. to make this, you know? Yeah. So like you have to... all your ducks have to be in a row, otherwise it's not going to leave the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. Like the Mexican government has told people, you know, there's a really big draw to additive-free. So this is an additive-free product. There's no influence of anything else, but there's a lot of big brands who do use them. And so the consumer being educated has become very stressful for the Mexican government because they have jobs to worry about.
Sure.
And that's fair enough. But like Tequila Matchmaker will tell you what's additive free and what's not. And the government has tried to kind of knock them down. So God forbid you couldn't see it on your label or anything happened. If you take a tequila and you just rub it between your hands and let it just evaporate and dry, if you get any type of clinginess or stickiness or some off note, that is an additive tequila.
Tyler Eddy has actually taught us that. And he also did that with whiskey. And he's like, this will open it up and you can actually smell some different things as well. That's a great tip. I like that a lot. Yeah. So the additive makes it like filmy.
Yeah, there's just something weird there. Yeah, okay. So like glycerin is a big additive. It kind of rounds out whatever's sharp and harsh. And so glycerin is naturally produced through fermentation, but our livers break it down like you do alcohol. So it just comes to the point where it's like you consume something high in glycerin, your liver spends more time breaking that down instead of the ethanol. And then what's the ethanol going to do? It's going to follow your bloodstream. It's going to go to your brain. It's going to go back to your liver. And it's going to really just drag you down and bog you down. And so that's really the issue with those things. It's much harder for your body to break it down at that scale.
Sure. Well, yeah, because you're never going to have like a half ounce pour.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to be a savage about it. Makes sense. So this bottle completely stands out from a label perspective. Mm-hmm. What's the story on this one?
So what we're looking at here is mescaloom. So it is mezcal that's influenced by Tulum culture and aspects and kind of beachy and sexy kind of ideology that goes on there. But I think it's important to note that the brand owner is female, and she feels that even if there is other female-owned mezcal brands, the labeling is still very masculine. But there's an important thing to know about mezcal is that it's always going to be, or should be, completely additive-free. So the things that we're pushing for in tequila now is how mezcal comes out now. So it's like, it's gluten-free, it's vegan, it's all the healthy aspects that you're looking for on the shelf set, mezcal kind of comes prepackaged. And also mezcal, because of all the purity, is actually going to be as low calories as it is with, as like vodka.
So this is a very healthy option.
Yes, this is an extremely healthy option. Mescaloom also is going to be like a training wheels from, and I mean that in the best way possible, from tequila to a mezcal world.
Got it. Okay. And price point at Addy's?
So for mescaloom, you're going to be, it's actually on sale right now. So it's going to be $34. So you don't have to mention the Buffalo Happy Hour, but mention it anyway and buy a couple bottles while you're there.
Please help us out.
Yeah. Check out the Addy's app as well. So this product is going to be a combination of espadine. And an interesting thing to know that biologically, genealogically, espadine is the grandfather to Weber Blue, which goes into tequila. So there's an ancestry there, and that's why espadine has a little bit more of approachability than other mezcals or agave types.
It's unbelievably clean. It literally looks like water.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's great stuff. And outside of the espadine that's in here, they use cuiche. And cuiche is a wild harvest agave.
Okay.
So when you look at tequila, you have Weber Blue, a lot of it's farmed. So what they do is the agave plant has roots growing out of it, and they break off a rhizome, and that rhizome is planted. So it's basically like there's a plant, you take a root.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you plant that, but it's like a photocopy.
Okay.
And never has the mother-father interaction. It's just a clone. And so...
Daddy issues a plant.
Daddy, absolutely.
I like that.
Weber Blue. That explains so much about tequila. And so Espadin is a combination. It could be wild harvested or it can be farmed. It's mostly farmed. But Quiche is wild harvest only.
Okay.
So what you do is you get a plot of land and whatever grows, grows. But for wild agave, it will not survive in a farm. So it's wildly pollinated, mostly by bats. So yeah. So the bats are in that environment and they're helping pollinate other things. So the agave, whether it's from tequila or whether it's from mezcal, is actually part of the asparagus family. It's not a cactus. It's not a succulent. It's an asparagus. And so when you see mature agave, an asparagus plant will grow up. These branches will grow out. And it's like kind of like very thin flowers that are around, and the bats just fly up high up in that altitude because they'll grow like 10 feet tall. They'll grow tall as hell. And they'll get that nectar and they'll pass it on to the other plants. And so that's how Quiche is done. So it's a combination of those two. You have the Espadin, which you're comfortable and you're familiar with. And then you have the Quiche, which has its own kind of unique fruity notes where you're really never going to be able to duplicate something like that.
That's fascinating because in the U.S. we have bees that pollinate, but mm-hmm. in Mexico they have bats.
Bats, yeah.
Nice. Okay. So what should we be tasting in this?
So what most people are familiar with mezcal is that it's like really smoky characteristic.
It's the scotch of tequilas, right?
More or less. You could say that. Yeah. That's a fair assessment.
Okay.
And it's in the production method, right? So you can have things that are in an oven or an autoclave or a pressure cooker for tequila. But the agaves and mezcal are going to be cooked in underground earthen pits. So this brand in particular takes pine and oak. They heat it up. That's how they heat up the coals. And then they cover them up. And then when the sugar and the sap is coming out of the agave, it hits the coals and it smokes them. But the smoke has a lot of restraint in this particular brand. And it's just not a total ashtray.
Yeah, this is so good. This is so good. This isn't supposed to be this good.
It's a dangerous mezcal because I think people have had bad experiences with brands in the past because it hasn't been accessible, right? So you're like, okay, I'll spend $40 on this brand. You have it. You're like, I'm not a big fan of it, or I'm going to try to give it away or put it in a cocktail. I think overall, in the mezcal era, we're getting into its heyday. We're getting into combinations, production methods that are really incredible.
I'll be the first to say it. Sometimes you need a woman's touch. And I feel like that's what this is.
The brand owner will really appreciate that. And I want to be transparent with everybody too. So it is female owned. It is somebody who focuses on health and wellness. And I want to talk about my first experience with this brand. So I walk into this meeting. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, whatever. Like, you got another mezcal. I tried 10 this week, you know. Oh, like, you're a celebrity. You know, no one really likes celebrity brands. But I think something that's important to know about this brand, that it is owned by a female with her husband and her friend. It is owned by someone who's into health and wellness. They just happen to be a celebrity because they don't get a check sent out to them every month, every time they do an Instagram post. This is ownership of a brand.
Got it.
So there's longevity here. It's not to run and get it over with. This was kind of a dream between the three of them. So I don't know how much of a fan you are, Mike, of the Real Housewives of New York. But
go on.
Yeah. So this is a brand that's owned by Erin Leashy.
Okay.
Her husband is Abe Leashy, and their friend is Chris Roth. But we're talking about friends since like high school. And so she went on vacation or honeymoon with Abe. They had mezcal basically for the first time, totally fell in love with it. And they said, you know, kind of this is a thing that we want to do. And so I've seen the incredible reaction of people with her, but I always bury the lead. I'm always like, yada, 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 great product, all this stuff. And it's seriously, on its own merit, it's incredible. But it is owned by Celebrity, which is a great, nice little added bonus. But again, she's not getting a cut check cut to her every month. She cares about this brand. She promotes a brand. She makes herself known. She's not ashamed of it, right? She's always talking about it. So you could see why I had my trepidation where I was like, yeah, like, okay, cool. Another celebrity agave-based brand.
Makes sense.
You know, like, we have bigger celebrities. You know, we could say, oh, they're A-list actors or whatever. But, you know, the brands that they're supporting are not very strong. And I think that's what's missing. You know, they're the heart and soul. Without Aaron and Abe and Chris, there is no Mescaline. And I think that's a really important distinction to make.
My wife is a massive Housewives fan. And to the point where Derek and I have coined our spouses as the BHH Housewives.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because they've always been supportive from day one. But at the same time, they're both kind of like, they want to be bougie.
Okay.
It's like, we're not rich, we're not famous, like, we're not there. But yeah. It's an ongoing joke. But my wife is unbelievably obsessed with all of the Housewives. All of the cities, all of the states.
Everything.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. It could be Orange County, it could be Atlanta, New York, it doesn't matter.
No Jersey. Housewife unturned.
Yeah. Correct. So she's all about it. But it's funny because I'll come home, you know, like tonight. Like, I'll get home at like 9:30 and I'll walk in and I'll just listen to screaming. And I'm like, what am I walking into? And it's her watching one of the Housewives and they're just like screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Same thing at 6:30 in the morning. Like, that's her wake up. Like, I'm just going to get the baby set and like watch reality TV. I'm like, this is insane. But I'm very, very likely going to bring this home and to not just continue supporting Eddie's, of course, but just to make the joke. Like, literally to make the joke. Like, this is your girl.
Please. So Erin's going to be on the next season. So she'll have to take a shot every time she mentions Mescaline.
Yes.
But again, when somebody tells me you're going to meet a Real Housewife, I'm like, oh God.
It's so
especially like
top.
I'm from Jersey. So the Real Housewife jerseys were like the,
it's yeah.
We're challenging, right? Is that a nice term to say?
Yeah. That's a way to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's diplomatic, right?
Yes.
I
mean, you could go off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The one husband went to jail for fraud. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, it's real juicy.
Yes. As juicy as this mezcal, but, yes. But it was such a breath of fresh air of like how nice, down to earth, approachable. I mean, she's a mom of three.
Right.
Like, it's not like she was just like this maniac who was a trophy wife for so many years. I'm going to say maybe Abe is trophy husband, if anything. But no, Abe is a fantastic guy as well. And so I think it's just really interesting to see when you take that extra step and you don't look to just trying to make money, but you're looking to develop a brand. I think so many people will have much more success.
100%.
And I think other celebrities had success in that. Like I hate just to name names, but like the Rock, like he has so much, like his gym brand does so really well and such a strong brand. It's incredible. Great branding, great quality of product. But then when you look at his like spirit side, not so strong. And I don't know what his involvement level is there. So I apologize for speaking out of pocket, but I think people just aren't happy. I think maybe there's a certain level of expectation that doesn't meet what they had seen in other attributes that he's done. So for me, this is a strong product first and then celebrity related later.
And I feel like it's just because there's so much going on, you know, like you get to a point where you're producing, you're acting, you're also wrestling. Like now you're doing this and it's like, dude, like plus you're a husband, then you're a father, like, and you're still a son. So at what point is it enough?
Right.
You know, like from a bandwidth standpoint and also just from a facilitating standpoint of how do I manage everything in a day? Like at the end of the day, you only have 24 hours.
Right.
So
I mean, I imagine
it's a lot.
Running the Buffalo happy hour, like just money's just thrown at you and you have to make a decision at the end of the day. Like, okay, yeah. I'm not going to prostitute myself out as much as I possibly can.
You know, it gets exhausting. It gets exhausting. So we'll move
My
on.
My wife has an expensive Real Housewives habit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, especially because of Hulu. So anyways, so with Shorebird, this has been a product that actually has yielded a lot of feedback. Literally, right before we hit record, I posted the lineup to our story, and I immediately got a comment from another rep who's in the whiskey side, and he's like, I've heard a lot of good things about Shorebird. So what is the Shorebird, and what should people know about it? Because we have a small batch and a single barrel.
Right. So and this is going to be the lineup for a while.
Okay.
The only other Shorebird that exists out there is only available at the distillery.
Okay.
So let's talk
about... Located where?
So it's actually in Portland, Maine.
Sweet.
So let's look at the pedigree, right? Okay. So this is a brand that's owned by Jordan Milne. So it's a single owner distillery. he owns a brand called Hard Shore Gin. So I don't know if you're familiar with Hard Shore Gin, available at Addy's. I'm sure. Yes, it's available at Addy's. Awesome. Check the Addy's app. And so
if you're in the state of New York, they can ship it right to your door.
Yeah, there you go. And so Hard Shore Gin is an incredible product with a great story. But again, Jordan's the only owner. The grains, whether the base of the grain is going to be for the gin or for the bourbons, comes from his family estate. So it's a little bit far. The closest place is going to be Syracuse. I'm pretty sure it's Hamilton, New York. And so it's about 6 or 7 generations that the Milneys have been there. And so they are providing the wheat for the Hard Shore Gin. So it's 100% wheat as a base.
So a Syracuse farm is fueling and supporting a Portland, Maine distillery?
Right, because it's the same family. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's the same family.
I'll tell you why in a minute. Go on.
Okay. And so when we're looking at the Shorebirds, it's going to be all 4 grains of the mash bill.
Okay.
So we have corn, wheat, rye, and malted barley, all from the family estate. So that kind of keeps costs down, which is an important factor. And when we look at the mash bill, it's going to be 65% corn, 36% wheat, 6% rye, and 3% malted barley. I apologize in advance if my math isn't right, but I did do my homework. And so these Shorebird lines, they get to control where the grain comes from. He does his own fermentation. He does his own distillation. So this is absolutely not a source bourbon, not a source whiskey in any way, shape, or form. You can go up to Portland, Maine. One of the best Mexican places in the world is right across the street at Terra Lingua. But he makes his own gin from scratch, grain to bottle, and the same bourbon, grain to bottle. Does everything himself. Fermentation, distillation, aging, and bottling. So we're going to start with the small batch first.
While you pour that, I'll tell you why I'm so excited.
Please.
My wife is from Syracuse. We vacation every year in Maine.
Oh.
40 minutes away from Portland. And we got married in Maine. And her family has owned a house in Maine for literally 100 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's been passed down. So now we get a week in the summer, and it's basically a timeshare. So like, okay, this side of the family gets this week, this side of the family gets this week, onward, yeah. Right? So every time we're in Maine, I'm thinking of like, okay, let's hit a different distillery, let's do a different hike or whatever the case. I'm going there twice a summer.
Yeah.
Once for a weekend for a wedding, and then the second is for the week.
Nice.
So now I got to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's literally 40 minutes from the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm all fired up. So yeah. I literally text me after this interview and let me know that restaurant.
Terra Lingua for sure. Yeah. I'll give you all the contact information. So with this first Shorebird here, it could be at $59.99. Again, it will be a 10% discount when you mention Buffalo Happy Hour. But it's going to be those 4 grains in the mash bill that I talked about. This is going to be 4 years aged and 45% alcohol.
What's 45 ABV?
45% ABV.
Okay.
So 90 proof.
Yep.
So again, this is, you might say, God, like I never heard of this before and it's like almost $60. This punches above its weight class. The only reason it's this, I would say affordable, is because A, the production just can't keep up with it. You know, this is a brand new kind of baby that they're doing. Because they release everything at the same time. This is the 4 year on the small batch, 5 year on the single barrel, and it's a 6 year exclusive at the distillery. And it just beats all the big boys. What you're going to see is that this color, even at 4 or 5 years, tends to be a little bit lighter. You have to keep in mind that Portland is going to be a much cooler climate.
Way cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hotter the climate, usually the darker the spirit. So if we look at like a Balcones, some of those Balcones come out jet black. Just because the very fancy SAT word is diurnal temperature, which is the highest highs and the lowest lows in temperature. But that means that barrel is breathing out and squeezing in. And when you're going to, you know, all your spirit starts off as white, clear, distillate, you know, moonshine, white dog. And so Portland being a cooler climate, now we're letting the spirit seep its way into the barrel in a very controlled way. So it's not over oaked. And these sugars just kind of like melt in your mouth with the small batch.
It's very, very smooth.
Yeah.
And it's super inviting. It's also a super high hug,
yeah,
which I love because it kind of warms your chest, but it just like lingers and it's pleasant.
Yeah. I think that the flavor notes are just so present. They don't disappear on you. They don't shoot straight back and then just burn and they're gone.
Yeah.
So as a small batch, what's that mean? Small batch is not actually a U.S. protected term, even though we see it in a lot of whiskeys. So this is going to be less than 20 barrels to make this small batch. But when you look at other big houses that talk about small batch, they're in the thousands. So that's really the biggest issues that you have is, you know, your expectation is when you say small batch and it's not single barrel, how small are we talking? I can verify for you and tell you totally transparently, it's less than 20 barrels. It might sit at 19 or a little bit less. And so that those types of things matter because you're not getting a conglomerate of flavors. And I think it also makes it a bit special. And you know that the house it's being made in is not just cranking this away and they don't care what goes into it. You know, I think there is a lot of love and care. And I think there's a lot of choices that you're making when you decide, is this going to be a single barrel? Is this going to wait 5 or 6 years? Is this going to be blended all together?
And I'm also super curious to see what this does over the course of 4 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm. In that 6 year, I haven't been able to try. Like I said, distillery exclusive, I'm dying to go. I think when I spoke with him, it's like less than 100 bottles. So if you can get there, you know? It's a 6 year age. It's definitely going to be darker. It's going to be a higher strength than the single barrel. So we went 45% alcohol, 4 years with the same mash bill. And then the single barrel, they only picked about 8 barrels to put into the single barrel program. They felt like these are like the rock stars, the highlight of the whole thing.
Sure.
They didn't want to small batch it. And so we have a little bit of a sweet caramel cube, round, soft with a small batch. And the single barrel, we're going up to 51%. So we're going to have a higher ABV. You might have a thinner quality, but it's going to give you more character of spirit. It's not going to be, I don't want to say... It's not going to have the influence of water in there. And so the single barrel is going to be something kind of special. But again, once that barrel's done, it's done. And we're never going to see it again.
No.
Where we're hoping to keep a similar trend because this is great. And I could see why people are talking about it. So I'm really excited about that. And again, it's Hard Shore Distillery in Portland, Maine. So Shorebird is playing on to that name that they're doing.
Also Real Cork?
Real Cork, absolutely.
Nice.
And apothecary bottles, which you're going to see with the Hard Shore Gin as well.
I do like those a lot. And I was kind of fascinated by that shape of the bottle, especially because the cork is like shallow per se, but it's just a different diameter than the actual, the glass.
Yes.
The top of the glass. So I'm fascinated with that because that's super rare, especially in today's liquor stores. Like you really don't see that at all. I like that glass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the whole bottle's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's basically a decanter bottle.
Yeah.
So when you're done, you can reuse it. There's only two labels on it. With the single barrel, we're going to be a little bit higher, $69.99, but for 10 bucks more, higher ABV, one more year. And again, whatever is beyond this is only available at the distillery. But the packaging is so great. It's all real cork. And I just love what he's done because when you look at the Hard Shore bottle as well, it's kind of like a short squat bottle. It also has a cork feature on it as well. I've had people say, this doesn't look like a bourbon bottle. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, not at all. Who cares?
The person who told me that, I turned to the shelf and I'm looking at all these bourbon labels and they're all like black and gold.
Right.
With just black and gold at the same bottle shape, same bottle size. And it's like, absolutely, I want something that sticks off the shelf. Like you have the bright orange band or the bright like neon yellow kind of band.
Sure.
And I think it's really eye-catching. But at the end of the day, if this was served in a shoe, it would just still be an incredibly tasty, luscious kind of bourbon.
No doubt. I'm fascinated by this brand, and I'm really hoping that they stick through. You probably don't even know the answer to this question, but Portland actually just suffered through a huge flood. Okay. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I'm not familiar.
So hopefully they made out from that with no issues. Yeah. Because there was multiple businesses in a lot of the coastal towns and then also Portland where they're like, yeah, there's literally like 5 feet of water. So yeah, absolutely. But you know, maybe he can take some of that water and make some good juice
there
out of
you
it.
Go. But it's you can only
so,
hope.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone in Maine is unbelievably resilient, so I'm sure it's fine. But I'm fascinated by this brand. I can't wait to go there.
Yeah, it was a secret project. And what I appreciate is that they took the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many brands that they're just like itching and really trying to get out there. Again, the Hard Shore line for gin is incredible.
Sure.
And so it's only five botanical, fresh rosemary, fresh mint, the closest to Portland they can get. Tuscan juniper, Italian orris, and Moroccan coriander. It was, Jordan wants to impress his future father-in-law. And so it took him a bunch of recipes. It was quite literally a bathtub gin. But that brand has been able to support something as incredible as this. And so he was never put in the position where he was putting out two-year-old straight bourbon, or he's putting out three-year-old, or, you know, he went into the market having age statements, knowing when the right time was to pull the trigger.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Just like sleeping on a distillery.
Losing sleep. I would be losing sleep because it's like the more time it's there, you don't know if it's going to be good. It's his first time doing it because he did the gin before.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it to be good. Luckily, he has incredible staff on hand who have a little bit of experience in that world, but also your taste buds just don't lie to you. If the juice is good, it's good.
Yeah.
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 And so it's, I actually feel very bad for Derek for not being able to be here.
I know.
I have to be honest. Yeah.
Me too. He's missing a good one, but it's okay. It's okay.
He kept the mic stands. That's the only caveat.
He did keep the mic stands. That's son of a, so it's fine. But no, I mean, luckily all this is available today. It's not a big deal. And then when I'm in Maine, I'm likely going to, you know, pick something up and then bring it back and review it just to, you know, not only just support him, but also selfishly, like it's really good juice.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. But
I think Portland's a little bit of a sleeper town because I didn't expect the incredible Mexican food. Gorgeous cobblestone, best sunsets you really ever see. And I'm more than happy to humble myself. I'm not always right. So I walk into the distillery and they're like, oh, do you want a cocktail? And I'm like, yeah, I'll take your Fever Tree and gin. You know, like you just every other distillery I go to is just like, yeah, we just added these two things together. Or like I bought Tropicana and I just added this, you know? and their bartenders are doing this like incredibly elevated, unique, special kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I kind of feel terrible. Again, I really gotta get my act together because I went into this with bias. I went into the tasting room thinking, oh, they're only gonna do like gin and tonics. Totally blew my mind. So you can make a day of it. And, you know, Jordan will always tell us a story that people walk in and be like, what whiskey do you have? And he's like, I don't make whiskey, I make gin. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go. And he's like, no, like have the gin, right? Worst case scenario, you don't like it, but you already knew you didn't like gin. He says about 8 out of 10 people just totally fall in love with it.
That's awesome.
I think it's, you know, we have a certain perception with gin. We have a certain perception with bourbon. And again, even when people are saying your packaging doesn't match, as long as the juice is good, that's all that matters. And the juice is good.
Yeah. And there's so many different reps that tell you that. They're like, who cares about mash bill? Who cares about ABV? Just drink it and then we'll talk about it and figure it out after.
Right.
And that's the best way to go about it because the people behind the brand already did all that.
Right.
So don't, you know what I mean? Like don't sugarcoat or don't preface it. Like just, it's almost like smelling your food before you eat it.
Yeah.
When you're a kid.
Right.
Shut up and eat it. It's an egg. You know, eggs don't smell. Like, just eat the egg, and then we'll figure out if we like it or not. It's just really funny.
I think everybody here, in like a very morbid way, has something to lose, right? Vermentino, the two brothers, have something to lose.
Sure.
The spritzer has to work. The vermouth has to work. They have to keep the door open. They have to make wine. Macaulay has to make sure his brand works because the preserve and the protecting the Jaguars matters. Mescaloom, without them, it's not going to happen. They need to make sure that brand works because they won't have anything, and you can't walk that road twice, right? As a celebrity. And then with Shorebird, it's, you know, we make gin, but now we make bourbon. And if the bourbon doesn't work, you know, there's so much turmoil and so much stress and so much bias and opinion in this market. It's really hard to find out what matters, but you can tell from the quality of the product, whether you knew they had something on the line or not, it works. And it's really, really incredible and delicious things.
It's surprising. It's borderline annoyingly smooth. Like it's not supposed to taste that good. I like it a lot.
And you've had a lot of bourbon, so.
Yeah. And because that's where I grew up, right? Like that was my elementary school was bourbon. So once I figured that out, got certified, like I'm like, okay, like got it. Now I'm into scotch, you know, I'm in middle school. Mm-hmm. So I'm figuring it out. And I honestly feel like tequila is borderline college. So I'm still like,
oh yeah,
I'm navigating those waters
and
a little bit.
Mezcal's the PhD.
Yeah. 100%. So this last one here. So Garrett is awesome.
Who?
For one. Garrett.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you don't know who that is? Super good guy.
Oh,
I'll introduce you afterwards.
The big, tall, handsome guy, former professional baseball player.
He pitched for a little bit.
One of the best, most incredible human beings and salesperson that I've met.
A little bit.
That Garrett.
So he was talking about this last option that we have in the lineup. And I'm going to say it's an option because it's an option at the end of the day. Like, are we saying yes to trying this? Today, of course, we're saying yes.
Absolutely.
But something about rose petals. So let's dive into that.
I'll take something about rose petals.
Okay.
Well, Lanique is a unique product, and that's just not only a play on words. It really is special. So back to pedigree, right?
Sure.
This is a 18th century Prussian court recipe. So 1758, the Prussian territories. So we're talking about Prussia and a few other regions in the area. This is what the court was drinking. Something to keep in mind, rose and rose petals were more expensive than gold at one time, just like tulips were in Holland and stuff like that. Like,
why?
It's just the rarity, the accessibility, the demand, you know, and everybody wanted to buy. And it was a feat, and it was cool. And it was something that was, you were like the creme of the creme. That's like when they used to buy pineapples. But they had to rent the pineapples because the pineapples were so damn expensive, but they wanted to show how rich and wealthy they were. And I think rose played a really big part in that as well.
It's like toilet paper during the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. And we're talking about three-ply.
Right.
Yeah, this isn't your run-of-the-mill, your fingers go through it.
Oh, yeah, no. This is not a single-ply nonsense here. Yeah,
This is creme de la creme. And so Lanique is an over 200-year-old recipe from the Prussian courts.
That's amazing.
And so we're taking a little bit of history here. This isn't something that's novel, right? And so what it does is it takes attar of rose. So what they take is organic rose petals. They take them by hand. They separate them. They hit them with vapor. So when that vapor is hitting the rose petals, it's extracting the oil, and you're also getting rose water.
Okay.
Oil and water don't mix, so you're going to have a little bit of separation. So the rose water stays behind. The attar rose, which is the extraction of oil, is going to go out. So these are all organic organic Middle Eastern rose petals that are plucked and leaving the water behind, extracting just the oil. Because that water could have came from the vapor, from the steam. So you want to make sure you're getting the oils because that's the essence. Then they're adding a neutral spirit. So they're fortifying it. So this goes up to 39%. Because again, that oil is not going to have an alcohol content. So there's no fermentation here. We're taking rose petals. We're extracting the oils through vapor, and then we're going to add neutral spirit. I'm going to add sugar. So many people get intimidated by something like this because they say, you know, what am I going to do with it and what is it? But at the end of the day, this is having a lot of characteristics of white chocolate and cherry and raspberry and rose. And you don't have to be a rose lover.
You can taste that?
Oh, absolutely. You're going to try it right now. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I'm not messing with you.
Because the back label shows three different cocktails to make with.
Yes. Yeah. So you can make a sour with it. You can make a lychee martini. You can make a rose and tonic. But again, this plays with mezcal. This plays with mezcal. This plays with tequila. You can use it with vodka. You can use it with gin. No problem at all. Again, it's going to be $29.99. You can afford to bring it on, blow your mind. A lot of people, for Valentine's Day, they basically just added it to their Prosecco or their sparkling wine or their champagne. Because you're going to get all these really nice, incredible flavors. And they're going to play with, even if you take a really cheap sparkling, it's going to be kind of exciting and sexy. And so I'm not going to lie. I tried to capitalize on the Barbie movie and Mother's Day and Valentine's Day and summer and spring. But so many people are afraid that's going to be grandma's potpourri on the toilet tank, and it's just luscious. It's 39% alcohol, so it does sneak up on you. It's not like a regular liqueur in the 20s or 25. This stuff's awesome.
Dude, this is so fascinating.
It's just rose. Whatever other flavors you're getting, it's literally just organic rose petals.
I didn't really know how to take this.
Yeah, most people are like, this is dumb when I show them, and I'm like, no. I'm like, I promise you, this stuff is awesome. You know, if the juice wasn't good, it wouldn't be worth it. It's incredible.
It is. It's almost like taboo, where it's like you don't want to admit how good it is.
Yes.
It's like a man in 2024, and you're like, it's fine. Like, I'm taking my stake. I'm going to put my flag in the ground and be like, I will make a good cocktail with this.
Right. And, I mean, if anybody speaks French, I'm not getting to the nitty-gritty, but la space neek is something that's not appropriate, which I don't think they had in mind when they made the name of the brand, since a European brand. This stuff, it's great on its own. You can see why the royalty were drinking something like this.
Sure.
Again, you're having something that's really approachable, really nuanced, really tasty. It really is the same exact recipe from back then.
That's a great point. In the mid to late 1700s, drinking rose is like the ultimate FU.
It's
like
baller.
I have so much money. Yeah. Yes.
That's like if like nowadays, like me and you went to like just like drink truffle water.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, just white truffle water. You guys wouldn't get it.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. Yeah.
But 200 years from now, maybe somebody is going to be doing that, you know?
Right.
But no, this Lanique is, it's really unique, but again, it plays with a lot of things. And people think when I mix it, the rose is going to overwhelm. Super subtle, meshes really well. And you probably surprise yourself. You're probably going to add a little bit more than you think. But I've done spritzers. Again, I've done sours. There's a recipe on Aaron Leashy's Instagram for using Lanique and Mescaloon together. There's a lot of options out there. There's more options than people think.
No, that's great. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate this. We have to move on to the agave class.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
let's knock that out. This is incredible. Obviously, greatly appreciate your expertise and then all of your background knowledge for each individual bottle, which is like unheard of. You know, in this industry, it's very difficult because you're going from so many different brands, but thank you.
Right. I do my homework. I study before the Buffalo Happy Hour. I don't embarrass myself. And so, you know, whether you're looking for starting your meal off with an aperitivo with a spritzer on the vermouth, something subtle like a tequila, ramping it up with a mezcal, or getting nice and hearty with bourbon, or finishing your meal with something a little bit sweeter like a rose liqueur.
Yes.
There's a little bit of everything at Addie's. Again, everything's at a discount. Just to go through the lineup real quick, the Vermouth at $19 a bottle, the Alma de Jaguar Blanco at $49, the Reposado at $59, the Mescaloom at $34, which is going to be on sale right now, the Shorebird being at $59.99 for the small batch, $69.99 on the single barrel, or the Lanique at $29. You just can't miss out. Every part of your meal, every part of your cocktails, whether you're on the golf course, whether you're going to the stadium, whether you're having a nice backyard barbecue, you're not going to miss out at Addie's. So definitely check out the app. Mention the Buffalo Happy Hour. And Mike, I can't thank you enough.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. Yeah, this is awesome. We'll do round 3 and 4 coming up. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes. Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.